is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
It is just before midnight on the 14th of April, 1912, on board Titanic. I welcome Charles Pellegrino, the author of Her Name, Titanic. A new edition is coming out next year, The Untold Story of the Sinking and Finding of the Unsinkable Ships. And Charlie tells me, in the way of an author, it's twice as long as the original. Much to say. Charlie, a very good evening to you. The Titanic is always at sea in the imagination. What does the crew, what do the passengers on deck see around them just before midnight on the 14th of April? Good evening to you.
Good evening. It was mostly crew that were on deck, people like Boxall, who was walking right toward the bridge when he heard the signal from the crow's nest, the three bells ringing, that there was something up ahead. And the thing about this incident is that it was completely preventable. They had been warned repeatedly about ice ahead and changed their course, heading a little further south, but the ice field was much closer than anyone anticipated. And the two men in the crow's nest, they were situated too high. The Titanic had passed other icebergs. There was one passenger down on F deck. Krikorian was his name. He looked at a porthole and he saw icebergs in the north eclipsing the stars. Did not really imagine that this was a matter of them being about 20 minutes to a half hour into danger when he saw this. It was about 15 or 20 minutes later that the most improbable event was seeing an iceberg that was directly in front of you, not off to a few hundred feet to one side or the other, at which point you would have slowed down and looked around. But directly in front of you and just the perfect height to be invisible on a moonless night until you were no more than about 10 seconds away from impact. And the two men in the crow's nest, they had said that it happened so fast that they felt that it was not the turning of the ship's rudder that changed the direction of the ship, but the impact with the ice. The one man was on the phone with the bridge telling them of an iceberg directly ahead, and the ship already began to change course, and they were already against the ice.
Immediately, events. I want to go to the Marconi room. You have dived to Titanic more than once, and you have seen the Marconi room. What does it look like today?
Inside, much of the equipment is still there. The table that held that little telegraph device, the key, it either broke to pieces upon impact, but that key should still be in the room. It was a brass key. The two men in the Marconi shack, they stayed at their post, radioing out the condition of the ship by Morse code, until literally the water was coming into the Marconi shack, into the room with them. And then they evacuated. They stayed at that post till the very end. One of the things I would like to see one day recovered from the Titanic is that key. It belongs on display somewhere like the Smithsonian as a memorial to those two men.
The Marconi room was new technology. And the reach of it was said to be science making huge steps, okay? The Marconi room, however, they maintained it and they sent out an SOS. I think they did. And it reached very far. I believe it reached Newfoundland, but there was a ship that they could see from Titanic. Why didn't that ship answer the Marconi signal of distress?
Yeah, the man on that ship, I think his name was Edwards. They didn't have 24-hour listening on the Atlantic or in any ocean at that time. And their Marconi apparatus was off. No one was listening. And they were only about 7.5 miles away and never received the first warning of distress and then the SOS signals that were going out from the Titanic.
At what point did the captain order the SOS to be sent out? Did they do it right away, or did they delay as they inspected?
Pretty fast. The captain went down with the ship's carpenter, met with the ship's one of the chief architects of the Titanic, Thomas Andrews. Within 15 minutes, they knew, and they were very quickly sending out a signal that the Titanic was in distress, sinking. They were sending off lifeboats.
I remember that signal being heard on land. Is that true, Charlie? Did somebody pick it up in Newfoundland or some of the Maritimes?
Yes, it was picked up in Newfoundland, and it was relayed. And there was a lot of confusion because, just like the internet today, people were on telegraphs radioing, oh, we've heard they're all alive, and there were all sorts of myths going back and forth. And the truth gradually came in from the rescue ship Carpathia. One of the Marconi operators survived, Harold Bride, and he kept tapping out the names of the people he knew that he was receiving news of, who were saved and those who were lost.
And so Carpathia got the signal and was on its way, but they knew they wouldn't get there before dawn, is my memory. Is that correct?
Right. The Carpathia was too far away. And there was another boat nearby, a much smaller boat, a schooner that had no Marconi apparatus at all. And then there was the Californian, which was the nearer of the ships.
And the lifeboats. The lifeboats were not adequate for the people on board. There were more than 2,000 people on board. At that time, did the lifeboats on board satisfy the regulations?
Yeah, it satisfied the regulations of the time and, in fact, slightly exceeded the regulations. And it was just, there was not room on the boats for more than half.
But they didn't even fill the boats that they had. The estimate was, what is it, about 60% filled. Now, back to the Marconi room. They kept broadcast. They kept tapping out right to the end, and then they made their way to the deck. How did one of them get away? How did he do it?
They were up on the roof of the officers' quarters. Harold Bride was trying to help them launch one of these collapsible boats. It was on the roof, and then the water just, the roof dunked down under the sea. So Harold Bride ended up on one of these collapsible boats that was turned upside down.
And that's what we see in The Night to Remember, that scene of him balancing with people on board the upside down boat. I think he had a pole back and forth. Maybe that's the Hollywood version.
Right. That was actually true, and that was Officer Lightoller on the overturned boat. And he had done a few things that night that, in fact, actually helped to sink the ship a little faster. But once he was in the water, he was one of the heroes of that night. He saved over 20 people. Once he was in the water, if you could go back and to that moment of deciding what to do with Lightoller, you would have wanted to get him out off the ship and into one of the lifeboats.
Her name, Titanic, the new edition next year, Charles Pellegrino. I'm John Ballard.